Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Garza Show. It is I, your sexy host, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, the one and only. Just kidding. This is Leveraged ETFs, a powerful tool for hedging your investments. Are you ready? Let's begin. Okay. So, leveraged ETFs, a powerful tool for hedging your investments. Hedging is...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
An important risk management strategy that can help investors protect their portfolios from market volatility. One way to hedge your investments is through leveraged ETFs, which offer a powerful tool for maximizing returns while minimizing risk. We do want to explore the advantages of leveraged ETFs when hedging your investments. Leveraged ETFs are designed to amplify the returns of a particular index or asset class by using leverage or borrowed funds. For example, a 2x leveraged ETF that tracks the S&P 500 would aim to deliver twice the returns of the index. This makes them an attractive option for investors who want to maximize their returns in a bull market. Just as a quick heads up, everybody, I always like to leave this as a simple little reminder. None of this is investment advice. It's for education and entertainment purposes only, not investment advice. Anyway, let's continue. However, leveraged ETFs can also be a powerful tool for hedging your investments. By investing in a leveraged inverse ETF, which aims to deliver the opposite returns of a particular index or asset class, investors can protect their portfolios from market downturns. For example, a 2x inverse ETF that tracks the S&P 500 would aim to deliver twice the opposite returns of the index, effectively hedging against a potential market decline. One of the advantages of a leveraged ETF when hedging is their ease of use. Unlike traditional options or futures contracts, which can be complex and require a significant amount of knowledge and experience, leveraged ETFs can be bought and sold like any other stock or ETF. Another advantage of a leveraged ETF is their flexibility. Because they can be bought and sold like any other stock or ETF, investors can easily adjust their hedging strategy as market conditions change. This makes them a useful tool for both short-term and long-term hedging strategies. It's important to note that leveraged ETFs are not without risks. They are designed for short-term trading and can experience significant volatility, which can result in losses for investors who hold them for too long. As with any investment, it's important to do your own research and consult with a financial professional before investing in leveraged ETFs. In conclusion, leveraged ETFs can be a powerful tool for hedging your investments. By providing amplified returns and inverse exposure, they offer a flexible, easy-to-use way to protect your portfolio from market volatility. As with any investment strategy, it's important to do your own research. Like I said, really, really consult with a financial professional before incorporating leveraged ETFs in your portfolio. Okay, now that we've gone over the script, let's go off the script. Okay, I love leveraged ETFs. I use the Bitty, which is a leveraged ETF for Bitcoin. I love betting against crypto. It's very fun. People would say that's gambling. I'm not saying it's for sure. I'm just saying that I look at Bitcoin like it's something that goes up and down because people get into it one moment, then people are totally not on board with it. People buy in rapidly because they're afraid of missing out. They see Bitcoin go up in value and they think that because it goes up in value, that must mean it's valuable, when in all reality, it's just a ton of people buying in at once. when I see tons of people buying in at once, that's when I start buying more of the biddy, because I know that betting against the crowd in this instance is a good idea. Now, you're probably wondering, well, what if your bet against the crowd fails? What if you lose all your biddy? What if you lose all the money that you put into the ETF that bets against it? Well, the truth is, I don't really lose anything, because I also have a lot of Bitcoin that I own, and I plan on owning it forever, even though I think Bitcoin's a lousy investment, because I use Bitcoin to hedge against my bet. So I'm hedging on both sides. I'm playing both sides of a product. As Bitcoin has made its bull run, my Bitcoin position has amplified rapidly in value. So the value that I've gained in Bitcoin makes up for any losses that I have from putting money into the biddy. And I just kind of keep investing into the biddy as it goes down. I don't put a whole bunch down, but I put enough down to where it's like, it's pretty significant if it were to go on a, if Bitcoin were to collapse. It should collapse, because it's a valueless product. Valueless products are really fun to bet against in a lot of ways, because I see something that has zero value, and Bitcoin's one of those things. I find it so fascinating that people honestly think that crypto's an investment when it's not. It boggles my mind, I guess. But I do believe that leveraged ETFs really are a powerful tool for hedging your investments. And I think it's probably one of the best tools you can have in your arsenal. I'm always looking for ways to basically to just keep betting against valueless things, things that have no real value or things that deserve to be bet against. Anything with hype, anything with a lot of hype surrounding it, like really shitty penny stocks or stuff like that, I do tend to bet against it, but I don't really do that as much as I used to. I'm sticking to one product and one product only to bet against, and that's Bitcoin. 80% of my portfolio is long-term investments, and that's pretty much how I like to keep it. But I will admit, my betting against Bitcoin, I think, will pay off in the long run. That's my thought, at least. That's my belief. It could be a very invalid. It could be an invalid belief. Who knows? But as Bitcoin goes up, I just keep buying the biddy. When Bitcoin goes up in value, I buy the biddy when it's down. Buying the biddy at a discount is probably in my opinion, one of the coolest investments that's available right now. And I think it's a missed opportunity if people don't get into it. So that's just me, though. My opinion. my opinion's kind of cray cray. It's a little crazy. But it's definitely an interesting opinion, though. So hopefully you all consider what I have to say. But yeah, I mean, preferably, I'd love it if Bitcoin went all the way to $60,000 per coin, because that means I just get to buy more biddy. That means my current position actually goes up like way too much. My current position in Bitcoin is already up, in my opinion, far too high, way higher than it deserves to be. But hey, as long as I get to keep betting against Bitcoin, man, I'm a happy camper, man. I'm a happy boy. So I'll keep doing it. But yeah, I pretty much just swing trade the biddy. I don't trade any of my Bitcoins. I think that's just more counterintuitive, and I think it's more expensive in the long run to trade crypto. But doing the biddy is a lot easier, because sure, I get taxed on any profit I make from the biddy, but right now I'm totally fine with what's going on. But yeah, I pretty much have a buy and hold strategy, and that's it. For everything else, I got 80% of my portfolio is buy and hold into the greatest companies I could find, mainly S&P 500 companies. Nothing too crazy. Stuff that'll grow over time, but not at like the rate that everybody wants. It's not like 10x. It's not 10x shit. But I definitely do prefer to buy great companies during times that are considered bad, because I know the companies themselves are good. I just know that everybody's afraid and they're selling off their shares, so that means I get a great company at a lower price. So I'm totally fine with that. I'm pretty much not, I wouldn't say I'm a dividend chaser, but I'm definitely a chaser of dividends from great companies. I'm not a chaser of dividends from shitty companies. If I see a shitty company and I hate their balance sheet, I hate the way they're managed and they have a dividend, I'm not touching them with a 10-foot pole. Just because you have a dividend, just because you're a company that pays a dividend, does not mean I'm interested. I'm going to put it that way. But if you are a company with a healthy balance sheet, have more assets than debt, and more assets than debt is way more important to me. That's why I think Google's the perfect example of a company that's not the highest cost of operation in the world, and it makes a lot of fucking money. Makes so much revenue, and it's always going to be on a growth path, no matter what happens, at least for the most part. I am hoping a major market crash happens, though, so that way I could buy Google stock, more Google stock, because I do think it's a little overvalued at the moment. But I love Google. I mean, I do think, here's the thing. I love and I hate Google. I've got a little bit of a beef with the people who run YouTube, and I think that they're bad for the world. That's my professional opinion, but that's okay. That's okay. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I do want to thank you guys for taking the time to view this video. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to add to the show. Of course, don't forget to subscribe to the Spotify podcast. We're trying to get more people subscribed to it. It's just a crazy show with me being a crazy whack job, to be honest. But I do want to thank you for all your time and your patience. I just hope you all have yourselves an incredible rest of the day. Later.